You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. Welcome, everybody, listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And we've got...
Mr. Kent.
Mr. Kent in the building
too. It's good to hear that voice, guys. Can you hear that voice?
Your voice?
No, your voice.
Yes, I've come out of hibernation temporarily. Yeah, it's good to be in the room with you guys.
Can you just come back, please?
Well, there's a few factors that are also going to affect that. The same ones that affected my absence before. Anyway, this is how the Lord works.
Yeah.
200 episodes!
200! So crazy. It's a big number.
Yeah.
So this is our 200th
episode.
Mm-hmm. How do you say it? 200.
200th. Like, 200. What's difficult?
200th.
Yes.
Feels funky. Ooh. So, yeah, our 200th episode. Okay, I guess that kind of rolls out of the tongue naturally.
Did you guys think from the first episode we'd get here?
Heck.
200 whole episodes.
Heck to the no.
Yes, I did actually, but I guess there's no, I didn't know like how long it would take.
Yeah.
But
I don't think I did.
It's been years.
Yeah, man. I probably, you know what, to be honest, when we started, I remember that little studio
in
Eastleigh. And I actually remember that very first, I remember that very first episode that we...
Oh, yes, mask off with the...
Yes, with Pro. With Prophecy.
Yes.
That was our very first episode. And I remember thinking, okay, let's see how this goes, you know. Of course, you know, I was excited and I could see, but then my mind, I just didn't... Honestly, I didn't immediately see how far this was going to go.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, Jehovah Ebenezer.
Dino de Ebenezer.
Wow.
Exactly. He's brought us this far. It's amazing.
Yeah, man. He's brung us this far, which is really awesome. And,
But
along the way, people got married and had...
Yeah.
Think we're gonna punish that song at your wedding.
Oh, yeah.
It's the perfect
so how
song.
How many more episodes do we need to do to get to your wedding?
Fewer than you think, actually.
Mm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's some development.
Yeah. So let's see what the Lord does.
Cool.
But
it's on record, so we'll hold
but
you
does
accountable.
She know that part of the premarital requisites is listening to all 200 episodes?
Exactly.
I have told her.
Okay.
How many has she listened to? So
I'll check. But she does listen.
Okay.
Religiously.
Oh, sweet.
Well, she tells me she does. But yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
There's a very inspiring lady who wrote to us sometime. Was it last year or 2 years ago? She said she bumped into one of the episodes. And then she decided, I'm going to start from scratch.
From one. Oh, my Lord.
It's just doing
thank you for
every,
holding on, girl.
Every because morning.
Some of earlier episodes.
And then she then messes and says, I've caught up.
No
what?
Way.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so pretty.
There are people like that.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Please give us your feedback.
I think she's based in Kenya or Ethiopia. One of those.
But, you know, I must say, guys, that I listen to podcasts in general. I listen to quite a lot of podcasts. And... when I look back at some of the topics that we've covered, we've actually covered a lot of very good topics.
Yeah.
Very important topics as well. No, of course, we've had one or two that we're like, okay. But for the most part, I think, you know, we've had some really deep and thought-provoking conversations, some convicting ones too.
Very.
Yeah. I remember those episodes where we would leave and T-Mac would be like... Lord Jesus,
please don't come here. I need to repent.
Yeah, we've had those.
And like episode 199 was like that for me.
With Tapeza.
Yeah.
Yo, man.
That was... Could I and I just left here like, what are we doing with our lives?
Think about my life, right? Even now, man, I'm just thinking, yo. Yeah, I've had somebody else, a friend of mine who listened to it, and it was the exact same thing. They were just like, sheesh.
Yeah.
Guys... Yeah. But I guess that's the purpose of the podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
people thinking, get yeah. conversations going, get you to introspect a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, if for us as well, who are carrying the torch,
yeah,
have to conduct ourselves accordingly.
Pressure. I think what's crazy for me is, you know, just realizing how much, almost in a very strange kind of way. Okay, I'll give you the backstory here. We had set up a shop in Bulawayo some time back, and so we're in the process. We painted it, and we're just like setting things yeah. up. Then this lady walks in. I have no clue who this person is.
Yeah,
I don't know them from a bar of soap. Then they just look at me like, "Hey, I know you." Then I was like, "Okay, maybe they know me from church, yeah. but this isn't Bulawayo." And they're like, "Radiant Culture."
Oh my wow. goodness!
Then I was like, but how do you even know my face? And then we yeah, got into that's a really yeah. Then we got into a whole conversation. That happened twice when I was in Bulawayo, you know. And I just thought, wow, man. Most or well, for me personally, most people who know me from church because I lead worship
yeah,
at church.
Yeah.
Mm. But it was just very sobering having somebody talk to me because they know me from the podcast.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, and I guess it also really got me thinking that we've got to be careful and circumspect about yeah. the things that we say because.
Good that she met you in a shop
and not
another place.
I see. Oh man, that would have been interesting. Yeah, thankfully I don't go to that's those good. Places anymore.
I think. Wow, anymore. Any words of last week?
Yeah, right. I'm also wondering as of when.
Doesn't really matter, but you know, it's okay. No, seriously though, yeah. But what have been some of the highlights for you guys on this journey?
Highlights. Well, we've met some really cool people along the way. I guess for Mr. Kent, he knew these people prior. But I don't know how I would have ever come to know people like Kuwaza and PC.
Oh, yeah.
Were it not for Radiant Culture. And they are wellsprings of wisdom.
Yeah.
Those guys. And it's just, I was going to say handy, but it's cool to have people like that.
Yeah.
In your contact list. <It's> like you can be reading the Bible one day and just be like, huh, I should ask Oz about this next time I see him.
Yeah.
Or I think PC would have an interesting take on this. Like, it's just nice having those resources in your
yeah,
for sure.
life who you can yeah, call upon. And PC, I know, is always praying for us. It's just
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Pretty cool. I'm sure there's others who I'm just not thinking of right now. But for me, it's mainly those two guys.
Yeah.
For sure.
Me, mm-hmm. It'll definitely be the Pastor Bonnie episode. I never thought that would happen.
That was cool.
Yeah. And just being there. She was a lot of fun.
She actually was, wow, yeah.
She was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that episode.
Yeah,
even before we started recording, she was cracking a lot of jokes.
I really liked the Daniel episode.
Oh, the Daniel one. That one was
really good.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
And he was so vulnerable and very honest. Yeah. Which was nice to hear.
Yeah. I loved that one. I really liked the Pastor Tom episode. I mean, it was a bit serious. It was one of the most serious ones.
Rather.
It was quite serious. But I guess it's my pastor, and I kind of, yeah, just, you know, when you're used to seeing someone on the pulpit and they're delivering the word, I think just having, you know, getting to talk to him in a more relaxed setting and also getting to hear the journey and the story, because often when we look at people who have done all these things, amazing things or great things, we often don't think of the process that's that got them there. And so for me, that was quite, you know, just quite amazing getting to hear his story, quite inspiring as well. And then I guess the question then for me became, if this is what these guys were doing at their age, you know, what are we doing? Because we often think that we've got time and we think, no, I'll start when this happens, or I'll start when I turn whatever age. But the reality is that people started when they were teenagers or when they're in their 20s. So that was also a very challenging one for me, but a good one.
Yeah.
Definitely. Another highlight for me was, which is not surprising, the Pastor E series on relationship due diligence.
It's still like the most downloaded episode.
Yeah, no, because he's so raw, that guy.
I probably need to listen to that again.
Yeah, he's just so honest.
Like every month, someone is listening to that episode.
Yeah.
Like it appears on the stats every month.
Mm.
That is pretty cool. That is actually really
and
cool.
Almost every other Pasi episode, obviously. Because he's just that charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Miss him a lot.
Yeah. What about the Gabriel one?
I wasn't there for any of that.
Look at him.
You were?
Removing himself. Like, look, I
wasn't
there.
Wait, so who did? Was it just us guys?
It was just you guys.
It was you and Biscuit, I think. No, it was you and someone. Because I wasn't there either.
Yeah, she wasn't there. I wasn't there.
Also, you guys are the saints.
PC wasn't one of them.
Yeah, PC wasn't one of them. I'm talking about polygamy. Yo, that was crazy.
But that's also what I love about reading culture. Like, we wanted to hear both sides.
Yeah.
And we got a taste of someone who was very much, you know,
but I must
convinced
say,
and convicted.
From the outside, it looks like it's working
for
his
him.
Family, for him.
Yeah, it's very interesting because just observing, he goes to church with all his wives. Four or five of them. I don't know. But the point is, I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm not inspired or anything, but I mean,
so I'm not inspired. I mean, we're still working on number one. So,
but you know, the Lord is a God of multiplication.
Oh wow, yeah, He is.
You know,
wow,
He might just bring abundance.
Mm.
I don't think that's what He meant.
Multiplication, but yeah, that was interesting. Then, I think we also had some really cool in-house discussions.
Yeah. Someone actually commented, I don't know, I think their name is Paida, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Paida. I know Paida. So Paida is based in Canada.
Canada,
She used to be part of our church.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So really lovely, young lady.
She really engages with our content a lot.
She does.
Yeah. She especially likes the in-house discussions,
right?
Really?
Yeah,
where she gets to listen to our wisdom.
Yeah.
Yes,
she's gonna comment on that.
Wow.
yes wellsprings of
it's
wisdom.
Like it's like she's waiting for the podcast, like especially like the last one.
Yeah,
as soon as I uploaded it, like not more than 5 minutes, she had it on her stories and just like, guys, it's out.
I'm
like, I literally uploaded this 5 minutes ago.
That is that. That's Paida. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Shout out as well to Vanessa, who's always
Vanessa.
In my DMs like, oh, manyarara, what's going on? Where's the next episode?
Yes. And then a big shout out to Zenny.
Oh, yes.
Zenny out in South Africa. Yeah. Zenny is also one of our... I'm actually thinking we should have him on the show. He's going to be in the country in... Jan.
Yeah, we should. Actually.
Yeah.
We should.
I'd love to have Zenny on the show. You know, he's also like constantly, he'll give me a call and be like, okay, no, I love what you guys are talking about. And Zenny's quite a deep guy as well. So, you know, when you have deep people commenting, it's like, okay, maybe we're doing something right. You know?
And even those people always have negative things to say.
Why are they in those ones?
They're still listening is the point.
Yes,
even if it's to all come up with something nasty to say.
Pasne mandu. I'm joking.
No, we welcome all listeners. Welcome all listeners.
It's like you're here every week. Like, do you like us or do you not?
Yeah, it's like, wait, you just listen.
Why do you keep listening if you don't like us so much?
I don't think it's because they don't like us. They just disagree with what we're saying.
Every week, Inisha. Like, at some point, you unfollow. Anyway, it's okay.
I know what it is.
The Pharisees still follow Jesus.
Exactly.
It's my voice.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
It's mesmerizing.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I think some of the episodes that I really liked were the ones we did where we were reviewing actual events or things that had happened.
Yeah.
or maybe commentary.
Like the Maverick City like, one.
You know, like Maverick City.
It's got a lot of listens.
Yes.
That episode that has one. A lot of listens.
That one. That, yeah. That was an interesting
a lot
one.
Of opinions.
Yeah.
Some have set us down and expressed their displeasure.
Mm. Oh, yes. Wisdom. Oh, in, wow, in you, particular.
You're gonna wow. Name.
Wisdom, if you're listening. Because, you know, Wisdom gave me a hard time. So, Wisdom, kakak.
You're weird. Wow. Like, he said the name already 5 times. Now he has to add the surname.
I've got the mic, so I can say it. He gave me a very hard time.
Yeah, I guess the Maverick City fans were not too happy with our episode.
Yeah.
Weren't they?
Well, some. No, but you know what? This is what I appreciate, to be honest. I think what I appreciate is the fact that we can have conversations, yeah. We can have commentary and discussions on these issues. Yeah. And you know, we have people who have counter perspectives and yeah. Differing opinions, and we can still talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And not cut each other up with machetes afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Wisdom is still my friend.
I think I just live in under a rock, honestly. Sometimes I don't see all of this backlash happening until Mr. Kent posted on the group like, yo, do you guys see this comment? I'm like, oh, no, I didn't.
No, maybe it's good. Maybe you're really preoccupied by your yeah. Calling as a mother.
Yes, I yeah. am.
And
she's
wife.
Taking it very seriously. Well, it's the highest calling.
Clearly.
Hey, yeah. May I respect mothers. Yo. You guys.
Yeah, let's do a motherhood episode. I should get some mothers in here.
That would be awesome, actually. Because, I mean, you and your husband are really taking the mandate to replenish the earth very seriously. Very seriously.
Well, it's a commandment.
It's a commandment.
Following the commandment.
You have to follow it.
Yeah. We like it. Yeah.
Cool.
So, but it'll be good to do an episode on yeah. Motherhood, actually. Mm.
Because, yeah, mothers.
I have absolutely nothing to say about that.
Yeah, the superstars.
Yo. We respect you, mothers.
I also remember the episode we did with Titi about Christian yes. Education. Yes. That one has really stuck with
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah.
Very now, good episode. Especially that I'm thinking of which schools to send this kid. I know it's a bit early, but it's also not that early.
Especially in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, like when you're having, you're told you're late when the child is one. You're like,
what?
What do you mean I'm late?
Some schools want you to register when they're still in the tummy.
No, you lie.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
Heesh.
Yeah, take.
Okay.
Yeah. When you have the thought of having the child, go register.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start our own school.
Wow. That I don't think is my career.
Radio and Culture International School.
Wow.
International, no.
Why is that international?
RCIS.
Just sounds huh? Nice to add international.
No, because we want, because Radio and Culture is international. We're diverse.
It is. Can you believe we have 50 listeners from 50 different countries?
There we go. There we go.
50. Amazing.
Yeah.
There are people that listen to us in Singapore. Some of the countries are like, who is in Singapore who listens to us?
That is pretty awesome,
man. Philippines.
That is really awesome. And
yeah,
we really thank God for the privilege, really, and the honor of getting to do this, you know. And I would say that's one of the things for me that's been, I think, a growing sense of just the weight that this carries. I think there are times where you do a podcast and it's just kind of like, okay, let's get it over.
Yeah.
Let's get it over with. But then, you know, there have definitely been moments over the last, I guess, over the last few months or whatever, as I've been growing as a person and as a Christian, where you start to realize that, you know, this is more than just a podcast. But it is a ministry platform.
Yeah.
You know.
Cool.
And do you know that, and PC was saying this to me sometime, that you know you get to reach people that some pastors will never get to reach.
Wow.
You get to reach people that some churches will never get to reach. You get to talk about things that
will never be addressed from a pulpit.
So I think that for me is one of the privileges that we get to have.
Yeah.
You know, that we get to do this.
Yeah.
Nice. Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. But talking about 2024. How would you guys rate it out of 10?
I remember I got in trouble for my rating last year. I'm not going to rate I'm not going to rate it. No.
Got into trouble with
whom? We're going to be very graceful.
Got into trouble with whom?
You. Don't ask so many questions.
With whom?
It's been an interesting year for me. Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to rate it, but yeah, lots of things happening.
Okay, if you were to give it life. One word or one phrase.
One word.
Or one phrase.
Forgiveness.
Sure. Okay. You doing the forgiveness.
A lot of forgiveness happening all around. First of all, learning what it really means. My church did a series on it that like blew my mind and totally changed my understanding of what it is in the first place. Then also in my marriage, we also went through our own things that required forgiveness, without which I wouldn't look like how I'm looking today. Yeah. Forgiving myself.
That is so good.
Just because, you know, it's really hard being a... what are we? I think we're all 80s children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are the people who are now in their late 30s,
yes.
Early 40s.
Yeah.
That bracket, I think, goes to a lot, that age group.
Okay.
Because we... constantly saying, but at this age, my parents had already bought a house.
Yeah.
At this age, my parents had a booming business and they'd had 5 kids already. Like, things are just not shaping up the same way that they did for our parents at this current stage in our lives. So, I mean, it's really hard, easy to be hard on yourself because it's obviously not what you planned. But we all just kind of taking it a day at a time and trying to plan for our futures, but also embrace the present. And when you, if you look back and see, like I came across a book that I had written down goals for, I think it was from 2014. And it was my 10-year whatever vision for what I wanted to have done by now. That girl was dreaming. It was like, yo, like the things I wanted to have done, you guys. I don't know. I was supposed to be, I mean, Kamini Oprah or something by now. It's billions of dollars. But it hasn't worked out that way, obviously. Yeah. So it's also just looking at that and saying, look, Ish, things have gone the way they've gone. It's okay. It's,
we can
still, we still move. We still keep asking God for guidance, keep letting him establish our steps and keep hoping for the best, even though it doesn't look like what we hoped it would.
Mm.
Hence why I say also just letting, giving myself a break, like, yeah, it is what it is.
Mm. That's good.
I like that.
I like that.
If you ever see some of your old goals, guys, you'll have a laugh, I'm sure. Because I really was reading these like, I can't carry hopeful. Did she not know what life is really like?
There's something called the Zig.
Yeah, didn't she know?
Ziggy Mali.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. I love what you said there about forgiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I forgive you.
Thanks, guys.
Forgiving
me for being absent.
We forgive you.
But honestly,
and for many other things.
I don't know if the audience forgives you though.
Anyway, please guys, need a
getting. All the wrongs you've done in my life. No, but seriously, I think were you done? Sorry.
No, yeah, I'm done. I mean, if anyone wants to know, I think we need to actually get he's not a pastor. What, one of the people from my church to come and explain. They're teaching on forgiveness. Guys, honestly, it's mind-blowing.
Is Dave still...
Yeah, he's still...
Okay, great. Yeah. I had a good conversation with him two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, amazing.
His sister runs
the school
my kids go to.
Yeah. No one's sister runs the school that my kids go to. So, I think just thinking about forgiveness, just thinking about, that's a very deep topic.
That, yeah.
And just what you're talking about.
That, we should actually do that.
What you're talking about concerning, what do you call it? How, I guess, at different stages in our lives, we, because we were part of that whole generation where it was like, you got to dream big, you've got to do this, you've got to accomplish big things. Mm-hmm. And we were surrounded by a lot of that kind of this talk and that literature. You know the story.
I'm gonna multiply.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Forgotten that.
but I think what a lot of that, they call it, what, motivational literature and all of that stuff. There was a time when I was heavy into that, like affirmations and the works, vision boards. And I really do believe that there's a place.
Yeah. Oh, remember The Secret came out.
The Secret.
Did a number on everybody.
Yeah.
Guys.
I need to vibrate it. I need to visualize it.
Yeah. So we went through all of that. And I think...
I'm not saying it's not true. The way people don't get
some of that stuff is shady though, because a lot of it is steeped in Eastern mysticism, and all of that. But the reality is that we do need to have goals. Mm. We do need to dream big, you know. But for me, I also looked back at some of my goals, and I gave myself a hard time, you know, really hard time, because the things that I thought I have to have accomplished this, and this, and this, and this, and now when those things didn't happen. Then I felt like I'd let myself down.
Yeah.
I was really disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think it took a while for me to really snap out of that and realize that's not all life is about.
Yeah.
You know, there's more to life. And I think it just really, led me on a different path where, I began to learn about, I guess, just being more grounded.
Mm.
And also just thinking about what does God want me to do?
Yeah.
And what matters to God? What are the things that I'm wanting to pursue? Right. Are they in line with what God has called me to do? Are they in line with God's calling for me?
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say that, because sometimes as Christians, we can use the excuse to say, no, I'm just following God, or I'm just wanting to follow God's will for my life. Mm. And we use that as an excuse to not pursue the things that we're supposed to pursue.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a place where we need to realize that, you know, we can be ambitious in an ungodly way.
Yeah.
And we can do so because we're coveting what the world has, because so I think it's just striking that balance. The reality is that not everyone is going to be a Strive Masiwa, guys. Not everyone is going to be a Bill Gates. I know we've been told you can be anything you want to be. No, you actually can't. You know,
you can be what God wants you
to be. but you can be what God wants you to be. And so I think that there's that balance that we have to strike, because realistically, if everybody could be an Elon Musk, then everybody would be an Elon Musk, and then there wouldn't be an Elon Musk.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why Elon Musk is Elon Musk. So I'm just saying that we also need to really be thinking actively about things like that. Anyway, I don't know how I got down there.
Also, very selfish one, really.
I'm
listening to this podcast about the world's billionaires and Bezos and Elon Musk and all these guys. Like, their wealth combined. It's like more than 4 billion people on the planet's wealth.
Yeah.
Guys, that's like 2/3 of the world.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely not fair.
And it's like the top 80, I think.
On demand to favor. Favor is not fair.
Hey, I guess, yeah. But give it away. Like, what are they going to do with all of that money? Anyway, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's
not
a
mine.
Whole...
So that's why it's easy for me to say give it away.
Yeah.
Fine. He can go.
I feel like that's a whole conversation that we need to have. But there is a thing where I guess there's a reason why the Bible talks about riches, and it talks about those who chase after money basically have to be careful, because it says some have pierced themselves with many sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many warnings that are in scripture concerning the pursuit of wealth.
Yeah.
Especially the pursuit of wealth that is not grounded in God, that it can actually, it does tend to lead us astray if we're not careful.
Mm.
And then, you know, you have a lot of these billionaires that are now pushing certain agendas, because past a certain point, guys, you can only spend so much money.
Mm.
You can only buy so many cars and so many private jets and have so many homes. Beyond that, you start thinking, Africa, we need to control these zones. Or you start, you know, you start thinking about weird things.
Yeah.
And so this is the problem with money. Whereas, I guess when wealth is grounded in God, you can really do amazing things with it and change people's lives in a real way. So anyway,
But did God ever want anyone to be that rich, like to that extent?
I don't think so.
So I don't think so. Anyway, that's something else we can
just
discuss.
deep philosophical questions. But on that, before we move on from this.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the pursuit of wealth and success, though, as a Christian? The verse on contentment that. The whole concept of contentment that the Bible teaches. Yeah. Where's the balance there?
If you'd asked me a year ago, I would have said, chase that money. But if you ask me now, my views have drastically changed.
Oh, okay.
I actually did a sermon called Chasers and Seekers.
Mm-hmm.
And those that pursue wealth are chasing wealth.
The wind.
And they're chasing the wind. Pretty much that was the conclusion. And then we're not called to chase after these things.
But wealth and riches are two different things, though, aren't they?
But wealth is an accumulation of riches, isn't it?
Yeah, but aren't you called to leave an inheritance?
But, okay, I don't want to get into that. But what's the inheritance there?
Finish your. I want to hear.
It doesn't need to be.
It doesn't
physical.
Have. To,
I want to hear your line of thought here.
So, it's based off the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, you know, don't. For the pagans seek after these things,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But your heavenly Father knows that you need
you
them.
Need
but he says,
them.
Mm-hmm. Instead, seek ye the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So first. Our pursuit. Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And it doesn't even say you should seek these things. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Then he says, these other things
will be added
to you. So you don't need to even look for them or chase. They will be added to you. So I was
chasers and seekers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was then looking at the origin in terms of Adam and Eve. And when God created Adam, he created him and he said, take care of this garden, you know, work it, take care of it, name these animals. And then after that, he says, you may have anything you want.
Yeah.
And so it was given to him, whatever he wanted, except for that tree. And then the rest is history. But you get what I mean?
Yep.
Our calling is to seek God, right? Seek his kingship, seek his will, what he wants us to do. And in pursuing that, he will make sure that we are provided for.
Yeah.
For every single need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that.
But then, us pagans.
You?
As pagans,
I don't know, to
chase
he's
after
talking
these,
about there, but Lamborghinis. The shoe fits.
Like to go see Victor. Anyway, Victor is my friend, guys. I went to school with Victor, so
cool. That whole thing missed me, by the way.
Yeah, doesn't you want to just give a couple of mercs to Raiden Culture?
Exactly.
where do you draw the line? Because obviously, you know, Paul talks about if you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah. Paul talks about, I think it's in Thessalonians, if I'm not mistaken, where he talks about he who used to steal should steal no more,
and work with
his hands, you know, and then so that he can work and earn money and give.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, so then there's the other aspect also, which is that if all you have is enough for just you and your family, then you're not going to have surplus to give and to bless. So I guess that's the thing for me, where that tension is to say, where is the line between being overly ambitious and chasing after riches and, you know, working hard so that you earn money, lots of money,
yeah,
and do good with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's where it comes in, because we are called to work. Like, if you look back at that Adam thing, he was placed in the garden not just to chill and whatever.
For
he
a
was
holiday.
Meant to work. And that work meant, it actually says to cultivate,
right,
you know, the garden. So as he's cultivating, as he's working the garden, it's going to become more fruitful. You get what I mean? And the more abundance the garden produces, mm-hmm, the more is at his disposal to enjoy. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not trying to say don't work, but it's the what are you working?
Right.
What's the work that you're doing? Because if your motive is to find things that give you an abundance, then you've got the wrong motive.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're looking at that whole thing of...
Your equation is back to front.
Exactly, back to front. Yeah, you've just nailed it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And you're chasing it. You're being a pagan.
That word I know, man.
Pagan, bro.
You're chasing after the thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that becomes your sole purpose to make loads of money. So now the risk with that is that now you're willing to do anything.
And yeah.
Even things that are not right
to
get that paper.
Yeah. Whoa. Should do a show and did. And all his friends.
And all his friends.
Who were also chasing things.
So I guess that's the danger, guys, that, you know, as a Christian, where do you draw the line? Because, again, we're living in this world where the reigning philosophy or the reigning mindset is earn as much as you can.
Yeah.
Then
financial freedom.
Yeah, financial freedom.
Yeah.
And those are the people we admire. Those are the individuals who are hailed in society, the ones who have the money, the ones who are living the opulent lifestyles and things like that. And even in the church, unfortunately, you know, it's now crept in where the most celebrated pastors are the pastors who have the most wealth. Your prophets who are driving Lamborghinis and Ferraris and wearing Gucci suits.
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
Not the guy preaching in First Street.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not the guy who's just the ordinary.
Those are deep, though.
Yeah.
Some of those guys are really deep. But I'm saying the ordinary guy who's just got a church, small church somewhere, but it's a healthy church.
Yeah.
And it's producing believers who are healthy, who are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We don't measure those things anymore. What we're measuring is how big is your church, which...
Someone said something profound is that in this day and age, we measure success in the church by the gifts of the Spirit, not necessarily the fruit.
And that is so profound and so deep.
So bad. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I think beyond the gifts...
it's about how powerful
is
it.
Yes, and how amazing the worship team is.
And those are the things that draw us, right?
Yeah.
But we're not looking at the love, the patience, the courage, the kindness.
That's it. I did coffee with PC last week, and we're talking about this, you know, that we measure...
That hit.
The things that we measure are... those things.
Yeah.
So you can be in a church and think, you know, my church is pretty dope because my pastor is pretty charismatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so-and-so, who is a big name person, comes to my church and our worship is just, listen, I go to a church that's got really great worship.
Yeah.
And that can become an idol. Mm-hmm. You know, you can start thinking, we've got an amazing band, we've got all this equipment. But then the question we must always ask is, okay, but is God pleased with what we're producing?
Mm-hmm.
Is God pleased with our worship?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that's been the challenge, you know, to say, how do you measure the success of a believer?
Mm.
How do you measure the success of a pastor and a leader? But these days we look at how fancy this person is. We look at, you know, who are they? What are they driving? How powerful are they?
Yeah. Mm.
But sometimes, you know, God looks at that and says, that's BS.
Well, I don't know if he says that.
You know?
I've got a neighbor, she's white. She always complaining on the group and she always ends up saying, that's bull poo.
Girl.
That's bull dung. Right. Maybe is that better?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. But so I think that's the danger that we run. I'm gonna there's a quote that I have here from someone that I don't know if we can quote him anymore, but I'm just gonna say the quote. It says wealth.
Ooh.
Ravi.
Wealth must be processed. Wealth must be processed through a philosophy of life that is greater than the wealth itself.
And I think
I subscribe to that.
And I think that's the thing that, again, we all have to be careful about. Yeah. That we look at wealth, we're like, this person is doing well because they've done something right in life. Whereas sometimes God is looking at that person, just like he did the rich young ruler. I'm sure everyone around him admired him and thought, this own has got it unlocked. And Jesus says, nah, dude, you're lost. So you've got to get rid of that. Or you take what you have and give it to the poor. That's not to say that God wants every wealthy person to give away their wealth.
Maybe he does.
But for that specific guy, there was this thing where his riches had him. And in the same way, riches can have us, right? And sometimes it's not the millions of dollars, because maybe you don't have those. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your identity, your image. You want to be perceived in a certain way. Maybe it's that Instagram page that you have, that you constantly, it's become like an idol. It could be anything that God says, homeboy or homegirl, you've got to chill, because that's become an idol. So I think God speaks to us at our level, and we have to carry our crosses in our own ways, so that we can produce that fruit.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm part of this network called Faith-Driven Entrepreneur. It's really good. And it's just basically...
You're part of a what?
A network.
Network.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like a community.
Language, like a WhatsApp group. Not a
WhatsApp group. No, you can have a WhatsApp group. Okay. There are WhatsApp groups, but they are different. So they're like weekly meetings, and their video resources and stuff. It's like a global network.
Yeah.
And it's basically just trying to empower entrepreneurs who are believers to look at entrepreneurship from a faith perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, from a biblical perspective. And one of the things they teach is that we are stewards. We're not the ones... That own the end. Yeah, we're stewards of what God has given us. And there are like some powerful testimonies that you come across. Some of the videos, like this couple in Germany that owned a really good hotel, and they got saved, and God started speaking to them about shutting down some of the facilities in there because they were rooted in idolism, and so a lot of the massage spas and stuff like that. But that was the biggest revenue earner for the hotel. That's why people came to that hotel. And they had to make the decision that if we shut this down, we could go bankrupt. But they honored God and they shut down that stuff. Their employees were angry. 75% of them left. They were like, this business is going to die. And then they changed the whole thing and they made it a hotel where you come and find God. Where people come, instead of massages, you get their prayer rooms, their counseling rooms and whatever. Now they make like 300 million euros a year now.
Whoa.
Which is way more than what they were making now. People come to rest, like people who are burnt out, people who are down and out, like wealthy people who feel like, I want to find peace. That's amazing. Find, and they come there. There are people there to counsel you, pray for you, teach you about the gospel and stuff.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
It was just a powerful testimony. Awesome.
But you know what's even crazier, guys, is sometimes there are going to be moments where maybe God tells you to do something like that.
Yeah.
And you shut it down and the return doesn't come.
The return
in that way. Because you know what I'm saying? There are stories where God then turns it around and then it becomes a $300 million a year business. But sometimes it's literally going to be you give this thing up and you don't ever become popular or whatever, because maybe that's the price that God wants you to pay. In the same way that, of course, I know this sounds a bit gloomy and stuff, and I don't want to like sound like I'm just being dystopian or anything, but it's like there're going to be moments where it's going to cost you your life. In the same way that the disciples had to give up their lives, you know, and maybe not in a literal sense, But maybe you're not going to be that popular person anymore. Yeah. Maybe you're not going to be that cool celebrity person that you thought you would be. But then it's seen in the fruit that you're going to that you're going to bear for God. So I think a lot of this popular Christianity is what's really messed us up, because it's also kind of intermingled with a lot of the world's philosophy. But I just love the fact that God often just restores in this life, what we're talking about with Tapedza, that in exactly. this life, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of this year, please stop me if I'm talking too much. Speaking of this year, I think it's, I hadn't spoken yet.
Yeah.
For me, I remember the beginning of, well, I haven't spoken about this.
I know.
Like, no, because you're looking at me funny. Me. You're giving me the eye, right?
like, you've been speaking this whole time. What do you mean you haven't spoken yet?
Okay. I guess some of us can just talk. So, at the beginning of the year, I remember saying, you know, Lord, this is going to be the most amazing year in my life.
Yeah.
And I just really believed. And it's been an amazing
year.
You're
being influenced by Timbalamia.
Gorerino. I just really had a great sense about this year. You know, just in all aspects of my life, I was like, I want this year to rock. I want to make money. I want my business to grow. But I want to grow as a person, as a man, as a believer. Mm. And all those things have happened in their own ways, you know. Yeah. Mm. But it's also come with a lot of difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got some KOs, you know, in my uppercuts. Lost a couple of teeth in the process. But... of course, you know, it's been a lot of those things. I'm grateful for the friendships that I've built, the existing ones that have been strengthened and new ones that have been built. I'm grateful for just the impact I've been able to make in different people's lives. I'm grateful for the growth that I've seen just in my own journey as a Christian, as a believer, in my own journey just as a human being. And... but of course, you know, it was also a very difficult year because we lost our best friend, Blah.
Yeah.
And so I think that was probably the most unexpected and...
so unexpected.
Hardest part of the year for me. Something I'm still struggling to process, you know. But I just don't understand how God works, though, that you can have a lot of amazing things happen... and then you can have something
like that
is...
that, yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, but...
yeah.
From where? And, you know, other people that I lost as well in the year, you know. But the one thing that's remained that I'm really grateful for is just that sense of peace.
Mm.
That I know can only be from God. That sense of peace, that sense of reassurance.
Mm.
Never for a moment did I feel like God had left me. Did I feel hopeless?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always just been this sense of just this abiding hope that is there in the midst of all of the difficulty and the pain. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting year in that regard. Very sobering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Very sobering.
Wow.
I don't know what to rate it.
10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
But you has a song called 10 out of 10.
Oh yeah, I know that song.
I really used to like it. I still do.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked for forgiveness.
Hey, wow, please don't make Mudiwo's fans come for me.
Yeah.
And you?
I wouldn't rate it. I would give it a theme. I think this year has been a year of trials and tribulation.
Sure.
I think, yeah, it's... I've learned what it means to be humble, I guess. Yeah, it's been...
walk humbly before God.
Yeah. And also just it's been a testing year, testing if I really believe in God. Because, yeah, from the beginning of the year, it's been trial after trial after trial, where you're like, hey, God, are you still there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess the biggest one, you've already touched on was just Blah passing away. It was just like, but God. Because this year was where we felt like Blah and I felt like this year we were really going to realize some of the things that we've dreamt about for years as kids, saying we're going to accomplish things like this. And it was really coming together, and the plans were coming together, and things were working out, and we had so many plans, and he just goes. Just like that. Mm. It was, and sometimes you never really feel or realize how important or how big a part someone played in your life until they're gone.
Yeah.
Where now when they're not there, you're like, I would have just texted Blah about this. Or Blah would have called me about this.
Yeah.
Or he would have laughed at me about this. Or he'd have told me to take down that photo. You know what I mean? And he's not there to do that anymore. You get what I mean? And it's just like, but God, why did you take this person away at this time? Also, just ministry-wise, it's been amazing. Really grown in terms of my leadership capacity, serving in the church. We've seen a lot of spiritual growth in the church. I've seen a lot of spiritual growth.
Preaching them controversial sermons.
In my life. But that has come with a lot of persecutions. Like, we had two robberies this year. Mm. Two break-ins. The first one, they didn't take anything. The second one, unfortunately, they did take.
That was wild.
But God restored most of the stuff, so that was amazing. But, you know, the first one was, we weren't at home. So that was like, you know, you just get there and, you know, doors have been, you know, smashed open, and you guys just kind of feel violated and whatever. Mm-hmm. The second one was more traumatic because it happened while we were there, and it was sort of like a very aggressive.
That was like a proper break. That was a robbery then.
Yeah.
Like, attempted, whatever.
So that, and you're just like, but why God?
Hmm.
You know, had two accidents with the car. Not like fatal or whatever, but just annoying, that whole process of going to the cops, insurance. And it's just robbing you of your time. You get
your, your nice car.
Yeah. And so it's been things like that. Mm. And then, you know, business-wise, you get some really dry periods where you're like, but God. You know, and you're about to sign a deal, and then someone gets fired, and then someone new comes and they've got different ideas, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So it's learning. I think I've learned to trust God, to say, look, okay, whatever is happening, God is in control. And I'm proud to say, at the end of it, when I look back, it's like God has been there.
Mm.
Sometimes when you're in the moment, you don't see it, you don't feel it. But when you look back and you're like, hey, I made it, I survived that.
Mm.
And God was there every step of the way.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's a book that I read, which is called Ordering Your Private World.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll share a bit about that. By a guy called Gordon something.
Mm.
And he talks about how when your private world is in order, then everything else falls into place. And that God is more interested in dealing with your private,
with your private world.
It gives the example of two kinds of believers, that you've got people who are driven,
mm-hmm.
and you've got people who are cold.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of analogy that it gives. And Saul was driven.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to achieve all these things for himself. He wanted to be great in the eyes of the people, and he did whatever it took to be great, even if it meant going against what God wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas John the Baptist embraced his calling, even though his calling led him to the desert and ultimately to his death. But he was devoted to his calling.
Yeah.
So he gives this example to say that he paints that picture to say you can either live your life as a cold person, or you can live your life as a driven person.
Mm.
And I think the danger with what we have today, especially in our church circles is that many of us have become driven. Mm. We're driven to be on stage. We're driven to be popular. We're driven to, you know, I want to grab the mic. I want to lead worship. I want people to see my gift. I want people to see how powerful I am. I want, you know, even some of the posts that people, you know, we're but it's all coming from a place where we're driven to be something. Mm-hmm. Not that God doesn't want us to be something, but the motive, the heart behind it is dodgy.
Yeah.
Or we can embrace the calling. And sometimes the calling might lead you to be on a platform and doing things. But many times the calling is going to mean that God has to deal with you privately. Yeah. God has to deal with our private world, as it were, mm-hmm. our own lusts and our own, just our own issues. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's going to bear that fruit that God wants us to bear. And I think that's also been one of the things for me, you know, where I've been like, where do I fall? Mm-hmm. do I live my life as a cold person or do I live my life as a driven person, you know? And of course, based on the context that he's giving, I don't think there's anything wrong with having drive as a person to get things done. Yeah. But he's talking about it more from the point of view that you can be so driven that you're willing to do anything. And mainly the motive is to put your own agendas in front. And I think, when I notice some of the things that I've had to look at my own life and been like, yo, Lord, help me, please. Mm. But even when I look around me and think some of the people that even I look up to, and I'm like, you know, or some of the people that we tend to just ignore.
Yeah.
And yet those could be the very people that God is using. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's been also one of the big things for me where I've been like, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. Yeah. If your private life is messed up then you've got to allow God to start dealing with stuff in your life in a very real way. Because what we want, like what Keith was saying earlier, is for the fruit of the kingdom to show. Mm-hmm. Because if we just do things, ultimately, you know, it's not going to bear the fruit that...
It's empty.
Yeah.
It's empty, yeah.
And if you listen to... This is the last thing I'm going to say, I promise. If you listen to what Jesus says to Peter when he rebukes him, when he says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Mm. Often we just quote that and we end it. But if you look, he says, "For you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men."
Yeah.
And so... I think that's a very profound thing that God says there, that Jesus says to Peter to say, and he's speaking of Satan, to say Satan does not have in mind the things that God desires, but the things that please people.
People.
Mm-hmm. And so we always have to be careful when we're doing whatever we're doing, that ultimately what's my goal? Is my goal to please God?
Mm. Or to please people.
Or to please people. And Jesus then says, Satan does not have in mind the things of God.
Yeah.
His goal. So then he says, you are of your father.
The devil.
The devil. So who's our father? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just...
The one whose goal you have in mind.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm done.
Cool. I think you can end it there.
Yeah, T-Mac looks like she's deep in thought.
I am, but you'll laugh at why.
Do you want to share before we go?
So you say, who's your father? Then for some reason, that's the phrase that came to mind was, who's your daddy? Then after that is the fact that I watch a lot of Paternity Court. Now I was not trying to bring it all together. Like, okay, if my DNA was to be tested,
who's your daddy?
Yeah, it was my dad. Like, what would the result be? What would...
That's a 99%.
That's actually a very good percentage. What percentage would I come out with?
That's good, though. That's good. You're crazy. Cool.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thank you very much. We've made it 200 episodes. Made it to the end of 2024.
Made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Happy. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
That's Mr. Ken's birthday. Happy 16th, man.
Happy 16th. I like that.
Do you know, guys, the days are just rolling one into the next. I don't even know what the date is most of the time, what day of the week it is. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I don't feel old. I feel the same.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm 93 years old. According to my daughter, I'm 4 years old.
Oh, okay.
She really thinks I'm 4 years old.
Just does add some numbers after that.
Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you. And T-Mac, good to see you.
Good to be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and your precious cargo.
Yeah. Yes. That we're expecting the delivery of soon.
2025.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. And yeah, we'll see you guys next year.
Next year.
On the other side.
Cool.
Behave.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat too much on Christmas.
That's very good advice, actually.
Cool.
And for those of you who are triggered by relatives, ask you, when are you getting married? No. When are you having more kids? Guys, that's what people dread about that's family exactly, functions, yeah, honestly, is yeah, the questions yeah. about what are you doing?
What are you doing with your life? What, when like, are you getting married?
Bruh, yeah. Please, guys, don't be the person who interrogates someone like that. It's not nice.
What are they doing with their lives?
Yeah, exactly. Just leave people alone. Let's just enjoy.
Anyway, I'm kind of used to that.
Yeah, shame.
It's okay. I'm a pro. Come to me for advices
on responses.
I can tell you how to respond. Yeah, no, but it's been real, guys. God bless you, whether you believe in Christmas or not. Do you still not believe
in it? Hey, we dealt with this last year.
Okay, fine. clearly, she still doesn't believe in it. So, yeah. Mungo celebrate. Jesus is Lord, and who's your father?
As you celebrate, just Marie, you celebrate a birthday.
That's a good one.
Actually, that's not a bad one.
It's a good prayer. Yeah, good prayer. God, give me the funds to celebrate.
Yeah, you know,
in style.
In style. Anyway, God bless you guys. Thank you for listening. We love you. We appreciate you.
Yes.
And
thank you for listening. Thank you for being on this journey with us, for referring other people to the podcast. Please keep doing so. And yeah, keep your contributions coming. Keep your comments coming. Keep your prayers coming as well.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And soon your money too.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.